Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what status is given to Jesus in Islam?
Whilst millions celebrate the birth of Jesus, peace be upon him, many are unaware of the status he holds in the religion of Islam. Although Christianity teaches he is the Son of God, Islam tells us Jesus, peace be upon him, is an Abrahamic prophet who holds a prominent position in the religion. In fact, there is more mention of Mary, mother of Jesus, in the Quran than in the Bible, and more mention of Jesus in the Quran than Muhammad, peace be upon him. Similar to Christianity, Islam tells us of his miraculous birth. This is explained in detail in the Quran in a verse named Maryam, the Arabic name for Mary. This week's Islam and Life asks, what status is given to Jesus in Islam?
Very often, Christians and non-Muslim people of other faiths don't have an idea about the status of Jesus in Islam. It's a central one, it's a very important one, and it helps to understand, in fact, the way Muslims are understanding the cycles of the prophets and messengers that were sent to humanity. And Jesus has a very important role with a very important message. And it's connecting, in fact, the Islamic tradition with the traditions that were that came before the Islamic tradition. And it's an acknowledgement coming from the Islamic tradition to the Christianity. And before this, of course, with the status and the presence of Moses, peace be upon him, in the Islamic tradition. So it's quite important to come back to this. And it's a way for the Muslims to help the Christians and people of other faiths to get a better understanding of Islam, and beyond this, to ask ourselves in which way a better understanding of the status of Jesus in Islam could help for a better dialogue, a better living together now and for the future in the West, and of course in Muslim-majority countries where Muslims and Christians are living together. So there are some questions that should be tackled and responded and also try to get a better understanding. And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Sheikh Syed Bahmanpour from the Islamic Center of England. Thank you so much for being with us today. I want to come to the first question about the status of Jesus in Islam. Very often when we speak to Christians and we try to enter into a dialogue, they have no idea about these status. Is this because the Muslims are not talking enough about it, or is it just the fact that the Christians are not really understanding the Islamic message? Who is responsible of this situation?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk here tonight. I think the problem is mutual. I mean, the Christians usually do not investigate about what the Quran says about Jesus and about what Muslims really say about Jesus. And Muslims also do not explain clearly what the Quran says about him. Sometimes even the Muslims underestimate the way God talks about Jesus in the Quran. Mm. I don't think God has spoken about any prophet in the Quran the way he has spoken about Jesus, the attributes he gives to him. I mean, just take away this issue of Jesus being Son of God, which is unacceptable from Islamic perspective. I think Islam has talked more highly about Jesus than the Bible, the way it speaks. Mm-hmm. I mean, when God talks to Mary, the angels talk to Mary, and they tell her that God is giving you the good news of a child. Look how this good news comes to him. Ya Maryam, inna Allah yubashshiruka bikalimatin. He is giving you the good news of a word. This idea of Jesus being the Word of God, which is of course mentioned in the Bible as well. The Word, bikalimatin min, ismuhu al-Masihu Isa ibn Maryam. It is of course named by God. It is, so to speak, anointed by God, because Masih is someone who is anointed. He's anointed by God. Ismuhu al-Masihu Isa ibn Maryam. Wajihan fi dunya wal-akhirah. He has big honor in this world and in the hereafter, ومن المقربين, and from those who are brought close. And in another verse, this attribute of Jesus being a spirit of God. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم. He was messenger of God. He was the word of God. He threw him at Mary. وروح من, and he was a spirit from him. Now, the exegetes have talked a lot about what does that mean? What does it mean that Isa is a ruh from God? Well, ruh is something which gives life. And of course, when we talk about prophets, the life they give is a spiritual life. Here, God is telling us that Jesus was a refreshing spirit coming to humanity from God. And I think the way Allah speaks about Jesus in the Quran is really mesmerizing for whoever ponders on them.
But so if we try to ponder over that, because it's true that it's very critical. In fact, here we have the last messenger, peace be upon him, confirming the essential message that came before him, the oneness of God. This is something which is a tawheed, which is essential. The series of all the messengers and the prophets that came before him, and especially this very specific role of Jesus. How would you explain, for example, exactly what you were trying to say right now, is that he is much more celebrated in the Quran than any other prophets before the prophet himself, Isa alayhi salam. So why? What is the essence of this message? How would you explain this?
Well, because the Quran talks about reality. He had that status. He had a status much higher than many other prophets, and also he had come to breathe in new life to another religion which passed before him, which was Judaism. And unfortunately, of course, things didn't go the way he wished, the way he liked. And what we have here is that Jesus was taken away, ascended to the Lord before he could complete his mission. And of course, the Quran talks about the history of Christianity. It's very interesting. The Quran talks about the history of Christianity just on the verge of Jesus being lifted to the Lord and after it, in the same way that Bible describes it for us. For example, at the end of Surah Saf, we have Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah. He actually tells us to take the disciples of Jesus as our role model. This is very interesting. Quran calls upon Muslims, calls upon the companions of the Prophet to take the example of the companions of Jesus, of the disciples of Jesus. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah kama qala Isa ibn Maryam lil hawariyin man ansari ila Allah. قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله. You take a role model from them. When Jesus told to his disciples, who's going to help me? Because he was going to disappear. Who's going to help me with this mission? And of course, the disciples said, we help you. This is what we have in the Bible as well, of course. It was the disciples who spread the word. It was not Jesus. Jesus was didn't find the opportunity. Jesus brought the ruh. He brought the spirit. He brought the refreshing.
And they did the job after him.
And the job was done by others. And the Quran tells us that you have to follow their examples. That means there is no breakage between Islam and Christianity in that way. And even the way the Quran talks about this Ma'idah, or probably this alludes to the Last Supper of Jesus, or something similar to that, is exactly the way we understand from the history of Christianity. As I said, just take away this idea of Jesus being the Son of God, which, of course, we know that historically it was disputed among Christians as well. It was established at a certain time in the 4th century. It was established, and then other views were regarded to be heretical. But it was something disputed in the early Christianity.
Yes.
So you take that away, and you take the crucifixion which of course is plays a very, very big role in Christian theology, because the whole idea of atonement and Jesus having died for our sins is something which has grown in history and theology. If you take these out, you see Islam talks about Jesus and Christianity in a so lofty manner. Just take the ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأَفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. We place in the heart of those who follow Jesus mercy and compassion. Well, this is what we always hear about Jesus. Love.
Allah, what God is saying about
Jesus. Yeah, love. What Jesus taught, love, and the companions of Jesus. Love, compassion to everyone. And the Quran says, we did place that love in their heart. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً.
Yes, I think it's very important to listen to you speaking that way, because very often we don't have this perception. Even, by the way, even the Muslims, unfortunately, they don't get this very specific status, and they don't understand the very, so many similarities between what we have in the Bible and what we have in the Quranic stories that we have. And this is very important when it comes to the sincerity of the Christians, the fact that they this dimension of love, this dimension of the disciples that we have to follow. All what you said, it's important. Now, the way you were saying, except when we come to the Son of God and the crucifixion, still for the Christians, you can't go and say except for this, because it's critical in their tradition. Yeah. Crucifixion, it's important. The Son of God is critical, so much so that you have, and sometimes you hear this in interfaith dialogue, some Christians saying and reminding us that, in fact, there is no salvation from a Christian viewpoint if there is no mediation by and through the Son of God. So the understanding of Tawheed in Islam is that we are directly connected to God, and we talk to Him, and we are trying to be inspired by the signs that He's sending. It's not the same in the Christian tradition. So if you have now, and you try now to summarize, what are the differences between the Islamic understanding of this very specific status of Jesus in Islam and the Christian one, what would be the differences?
Let me come back to that idea of salvation, because this is very important, and I think Christians are now on a very hot seat, hot chair for that, because they are actually retracting the idea that salvation only comes to Jesus, because that does not tally with the justice of God. Mm. There are many people who have not heard the message of Jesus, and many people who may probably have heard, but they have not been convinced that salvation comes only through Jesus. But yes, we accept salvation comes through Jesus. Certainly salvation comes through Jesus. Jesus is the path. Mm. But He's one of the paths of God. Mm. And I think one of the problems with Christianity, which the Quran pinpoints on it, is exaggeration. Mm. And this happened probably a couple of centuries after the disciples. Mm. You know, the disciples are very much respected in Islam, the disciples of Jesus, especially Peter. Mm. We regard him to be one of the Muqarrabun. Mm. We regard him to be the wasi of Jesus. And therefore, Peter is very venerable, all other disciples. The only problem is this conflict which was created at the beginning between Paul and Peter, of course. Mm. And many films and stories are written about the confrontation between Paul and Peter. And the Bible we have actually today is a Paulian Bible, gospel. I mean, all the epistles, the Acts of the Prophet is written by Mark, who was one of the disciples of Paul.
They are debating this, by the way, in the Christian tradition. They don't. Yeah, there are many trends that are not agreeing on what are the exact reference that we have to follow. So sometimes when we speak like this, you can have some reactions coming from the Christians. Say, no, it's not exactly this, and we are not retracting. It's just that we still think that Jesus is the way. It's the way you can. The only way you can experience salvation.
So I think the church has accepted, even the Vatican has accepted, that other religions can find salvation as well. I mean, no,
this is not what the last pope, who was Ratzinger, now Benedict XVI, he said. No, he said talking within the Christian tradition, putting the Protestant in a situation where it's as if
that
they
even
cannot
them, even, exactly. the, even, exactly. even them, even the Orthodox Christians, they believe that they do not have salvation. I mean, as I said, exaggeration is what Quran pinpoints. Ya ahl al kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. Do not exaggerate in your religion. Mm. I think whatever the Christians say, that Isa is the way, is the path we accept. Isa is the means of salvation, because whoever follows him will be saved. That's true. And we, as Muslims, regard ourselves to those who follow Jesus. Yeah. And of course, Muhammad is following the path of Jesus, not following in the sense that he is following him as being his leader. Yeah. However, the path and the religion of both prophets were the same, were one.
But tell us why it is critical to make clear that there is a clear difference between anything which has to do with incarnation and Trinity and at-tawhid and the oneness of God. Because this is where we are celebrating Jesus with one condition, not to go as far as to make him divine. So why it is so critical?
Well, because of course, the Christianity, by placing Jesus in the position of being Son of God and the divine nature, the Christianity has broken away from Abrahamic tradition, Abrahamic religions. Yeah. So they are not regarded to be part of Abrahamic religions if they insist on that. Because Abraham, Moses, all other biblical prophets, Prophet Muhammad, they all preached Tawhid. By bringing this idea of Jesus being Son of God, they are breaking away from Abrahamian tradition. And, well, this is a big difference. We cannot solve this difference, certainly. Yeah. As long as they insist on that, we cannot, of course, solve the issue. We just can have, can actually work together on the common word. However, this one, we never can agree. These two traditions, Abrahamic tradition, which, of course, Islam is part of that tradition, and Christianity, in sense of believing in Trinity, they can never, of course, accept each other. Mm.
So if they cannot accept each other, on what should we base our dialogue?
Now, not accepting each other doesn't mean that we don't have anything in common, of course.
Exactly. Okay.
We do not have any congruity in the idea of Trinity. Okay. However, we have lots of other things in common. Nowadays, you hear that they talk about one God. However, that one God has three aspects or three persona whatever. But they are talking about one God. We talk about one God as well. Now, the description of that one God in Christianity is different from the description of that one God in Islam. And in Islam, we have differences of opinion about the description of that one God, isn't it? Take the description of Ash'ara and Mu'tazila.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely different description of that one God. So as long as we both believe in one God, however we give different description to that one God, we can, of course, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنُكُمْ. The common word is worshipping one God. Now, of course, their idea of one God is a bit different. And I have actually discussed with many Christian friends and colleagues, and the way they describe Trinity looks to me just like Tawhid, but
very close to Tawhid.
Very close, because it's very difficult to believe in the old idea of Trinity, the begotten Son of God. That is something which conforms more with the Roman type of religion, which, of course, Paul was a Roman.
That we can understand in the history why it came in the 4th century and where exactly it's coming from.
It came from Rome, isn't it? Exactly. And it was established in Rome. Yeah. So that idea of the begotten Son, although, of course, Christians, as a matter of doctrine, they have to say, yes, the begotten Son. But the way they describe the begotten means that it's not begotten. So this is how it goes
on. Exactly. Yeah. So if now we go, you were referring to the verse in Arabic before, saying, come to a common word between you and us. if we focus the dialogue on the status of Jesus, is it possible through this dialogue to get a better understanding of our similarities, a better living together? In fact, at the end, can Jesus be the link between Islam and Christianity in Muslim-majority countries, as well as, for example, in the West, and especially in the West, where Christians and Muslims are living together? Could it be a way to come to the common world, and it could be, in fact, the status of Jesus?
Yeah, very much so, of course, because Jesus is highly respected in the Quran. Jesus is given a description in the Quran, which is quite similar to the description in the Bible. As I said, just put that Son of God away. Mm. Otherwise, the Word, being the Word of God, being the Spirit of God, all these things, reviving the dead, healing the sick, all these
miracles,
things are the miracles.
Yeah.
All these things are mentioned in the Quran. The only, as I said, the only difference is that the idea of Tawheed differs in Christianity and Islam. And I think this can help a lot for us to work towards that common goal. Mm. I mean, there are many ethical issues that we can work together to bring about, many spiritual ideas that we could be inspired by, and we could work together to bring about that spiritual type of atmosphere in our society. There are many charity works that both Islam and Christianity advise us to do. I mean, there are lots and lots of things that we can
Just very quickly, if we can take from Christianity something which has to do about love. When we hear in the interfaith dialogue some Christians saying, you Muslims, you don't speak enough about love. What would be your thought on this, but very quickly?
I think that's the problem is that they don't know Muslims very well. Mm. They don't know Muslim heart. Mm. What they see is the violence, which is political, rather than seeing the heart of a Muslim, which is filled with love of God.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think that listening to our discussion and trying to get a sense of what is important, what you said, which is important, is the very central status of Jesus in the Islamic tradition that sometimes Muslims themselves don't get. But it's quite important to come back to this, to know also that there are differences, which are important. There are critical Trinity, crucifixion, salvation. It's not exactly the same that what we have in Islam. Yet, based on what you said, which is very important, if we come to the similarities, we have much more in common than all these differences. And based on this, it's possible within our society to come together and to have, in the light of this status and understanding that Jesus and his message, to come within the societies, wherever we are in the West or elsewhere, and to come and to promote ethical ground, better understanding, and also to help the Muslims to talk about love that is central to their tradition and sometimes misunderstood. Sure. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
Islam and Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you have seen or you would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Sheikh Mohammed Sayed Bahmanpour. Thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us, and I hope to see you next week, inshallah.